Is a great and mighty God. Ring la rasca da babika. E canta tera so greatly to be praised. Repanga basa dalina. Is the one that inhabits the praises of his people. Lembas kata bo re kata daria. E kapa lemba lamba senda diga. E yanga da baba santa dia. E tapo senda rega. Lord, you will arise, Mount Bazaria, and you have mercy on Zion. Hallelujah. For the set time is gone. Is the great and the mighty God. Manda Bosca de Bazaria. Lord, we give you praise. And we thank you. We magnify your name. You are the incomparable God. The ever faithful one. The I am that I am. We magnify your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise, 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 praise the Lord. You may be seated. And welcome to church. Amen. You know, it's amazing the way God works, and he not cease to blow our minds. Psalm 68, verse 19. I would like it to be in either TPT, give me the amplified version. Good morning, Pastor Marshall. You're welcome. 68, verse 19. Always prepare yourself for every service. And don't come with burdens. Hallelujah. The one that needs burdens has asked you to give it to him. Abi? He says in verse 19, blessed be the Lord who bears our burdens and carries us day by day, even the God who is our salvation. Amen. If you read it in the Passion Translation, it says, what a glorious God. He gives us salvation over and over. Then daily, he carries our burdens. And then if you go to the NKJV, he says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Hallelujah. So every day is loaded with benefits. And every day, so don't think there won't be burdens. He says, he bears our burdens. Hallelujah. So as you listen, as you sit down, please hand over, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Hand over the burdens to the one that wants to carry it. Hallelujah. Because you cannot bear it. Amen. Can you please help me display that picture? Let me hand it over to you. I need this light off. No, it's this one. Can you see it? Keep that one on and this one off. All right. So these two gentlemen are having an argument. So one says that this is figure 6. Another one says that this is figure 9. And then they have the discussion. It says, boss, because you are right, it does not mean I am wrong. You just haven't seen life from my side. Really, I'm not bothered about that statement because to me that statement is wrong. To me. Please have the lights on. But you see, the picture is what is important. Someone is seeing at 6, someone is seeing at 9. All right. Now, when I was in school, and I don't know if they still teach them that way in school anymore, because everything has changed. When I was in school, Pluto was a planet. How do you know? Were you in school at the same time as in school? When I was in school, Pluto was a planet. Now they've removed it, that is not a planet. So you have to update yourself, Abby. Okay. Now, when we were into chemistry, they would give you a question and tell you that under standard temperature and pressure, this question, this whatever you want to solve, use standard temperature and pressure to solve it. In life, we cannot all have different standards and expect the same result. Amen. The standard that we have to refer to has to be the Bible. If these two men at the same standard, then the arguments can be right. But one is on this side, the other one is on the other side, okay? And one is saying just because you are right. So he's assuming that he's right. Whichever momentum statement is giving is yielding to the other side. But it is important that when you look at issues, you have to look at it from the same standard. Amen. Without that reference to the same standard, then you have no basis for argument. Amen. Romans 15 verse 4. On Thursday, I was going to give you people money. You missed money. When I asked you to read Romans 15, 4 for me, you didn't read it. It's as actually you were reading another, you were reading another standard. Oh God. For whatever things that were written before were written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Whatever things that were written before were written for our learning. And this is the standard that we have to work with, is the standard of the Bible. These things that were written has to be the ones written in the Bible. Some will extract this scripture now and then go and carry a book by Aristotle and say this thing was written. Abi? Or Shakespeare and say it was written. No. You take the standard from the Bible. And you live by the standards of the Bible. You cannot apply the American law in Nigeria, in the Nigerian court of law. It's not going to hold water. Amen. So always let these scriptures be your standard. When you are arguing, I don't know why we always argue. But if you're arguing, always argue from the scriptural point of reference. Two Sundays ago, we were looking at life from the ants. And we still go back there. Amen. We still go back there. Proverbs chapter 6. Because these things were written, and they were written for us to learn from. Proverbs chapter 6. Our reference was verses 6 to 10. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider our ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides our supplies in the summer and gathers our food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the ant to sleep. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider our ways and be wise. And you may say, you're not a sluggard. So remove the sluggard. So go to the ants and then consider our ways so you'll be wise. Amen. Just in case you say you're not a sluggard, that you're not going to, this one is not for you. Just remove the sluggard. Cover it. And you still see that sentence still applies. Go to the ants, consider our ways and be wise. Amen. Hallelujah. And the last time we were talking, we looked at different attributes of the ant. One of it was that they are well organized, right? They were well organized. Everybody does what he ought to do and knows what he has to do and doesn't rely on somebody telling him what he has to do. And the Bible says we go to them and be wise, okay? We also looked at the fact that they are selfish. They live, they are united. Okay? And one thing I also learned, which was very funny, was that if an ant is infected by a virus, okay, every other ant will come and take a bit of that virus. Interesting. And then each one takes as much as his immune system can contain to free up that ant. So everybody in the colony is going to have that virus. But they are not going to go fall sick because each one takes as much as his immune system. How they know as much as their immune system can contain is through God. But it says that when one of them is down, everybody rallies around and picks of that ant's body. Interesting. I've never seen it before. And that's why, you know, when the Bible was saying that invisible attributes of God were seen by the things that were made. So we see these things, okay? I never look at them and say they are very tiny, they are inconsequential. Because aunt, in fact, an aunt can stop you from eating anything you want to eat that is riding on. That's how powerful they are. Because you are not immune. In those days when you use saline sugar and you find ants on them, you blow it. You blow it. My mother will be screaming. I was like, I ate this thing yesterday. It didn't have any effect. So we eat it again today. Then my immune system is very strong. Hallelujah. Well, very interesting. And one of the things that... So this morning, I want us to go to the fact that Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, for everything there is a season, a time for everything under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest. Ants prepare ahead of time. Okay? They prepare ahead of time. If you look at Proverbs 6, it says in verse 8, provides our supplies in the summer and gathers our food in the harvest. Why is he gathering our food? Because they understand that there will come a time, winter, that they will not be able to go out. Okay? So, in time of summer, they gather as much food as they can gather. Now, they eat during that summer, but they still gather and store up in barns for themselves. Amen. My people said that don't use all your 10 fingers to eat. Probably they studied the ants. You understand what that means? That is not everything that comes your way that you consume. So when you have the ability, okay, so there's time for everybody to work. The night time comes when no man can do work. Okay, you understand that very well. My mom is old, advanced in age. She's not old, advanced in age. She doesn't do any work, and she doesn't have the capacity as much as when we were growing up. So when we were growing up, my mom could lift 50-liter jerry can of water. She could lift it all by herself. But now, she can't because she's advanced in age. So then why was she lifting? So she wasn't a weightlifter. Don't think that she was a weightlifter. It was the need for her to cater for us that she had to do that. Because there was no pipe bomb water where we were living. So every time she goes to work, she will take two kegs and fill it. And when we get home, it's just myself, my tiny self. I was very tiny when I was growing up. I was not this tall. I was like that guy, Rex. Very small. Until I got to SS 1 and I became like Sunday. And it's interesting. So everybody thought I was always going to be like that. If you see my sister today, I used to call my sister Giant. So it's only if you remember my sister now that you wonder that, is this one that we are calling Giant? But that's the way God works. And so because she had to provide for us, she would nether water. She won't use well water because we saw tiny, funny things in well water. So she'll carry the keg. When we get to her, she'll be the one to lift it out. Don't ask me where my father was. Don't ask me. But she'll be the one to lift it. And then, so as I was growing up, when I was like 12, 13, so imagine that our primary school, 12, 13, when I was growing up, and then I would help her to lift. And then I would lift too. And you'd get a chance, she would scream that, no, it will have effect on you, blah, blah, blah. I said, you can't compare you with me. I'm a man. I was just 15 years old. Amen. But she advanced in age. She can't do those things anymore. In fact, now, if you tell her to, no, just leave me, JJ. I'm like, wow. It's from her that we learned resilience. You know what resilience is? You will not eat. This thing cannot overcome you. If it comes this way, you come this way. I've never seen her bow to any pressure. Amen. Even when sickness came, she called my sister and I, and she was giving us farewell speech. because she was going to go for an operation. She was giving us a very farewell speech. She said, please guys come. And then this is this one. This is this one. This one is this one. All the things that she didn't ever tell us. This one is this one, this one, this one, this one. I said, so what's the meaning of all this? He said, I just can't tell. I don't know if I will come back. I said, if you are going to go for this operation at all, you have to decide now if you are coming back or not. Otherwise, you are not going. Yes, now I can't be, because it will affect everybody else. If the person going is like, oh, okay, anything happens, it won't happen. So I said, you have to decide. Okay, I understand these things that you have done, no problem. But you have to decide, are you coming back? He said, yes. Okay, fine. So let us pray. And so everything she handed over to her. I said, all these things I've handed over. She handed over her ATM card. I said, Mommy, this ATM card will expire. It will expire. They won't give us another one in the bank. So Kukuma take one of us to the bank and add the person assigned it to your account and make it either to sign. So that she be your handing over. Kukuma hand over very well. Don't give me ATM card. Amen. And then she burst into laughter. And then when I saw she was ready, I said, okay, let's go. Because you can't go into battle already defeated. Be careful. You can't go into battle already defeated. Hallelujah. And so after all the, I'm telling you our resilience, after all the struggles and all the struggles, and they said that you require serious therapy. She took that therapy so seriously until she regained the use of all that was lost during the operation. So that's how I learned resilience. My brother learned resilience. My sister, resilience. When my sister was doing something, somebody was saying, she's very independent. She will do this. I was just laughing. The son of a lion can only be a lion. And we are the children of God. We can only act like God. So they gather, the ants, they gather in summer, Abby, when there's a lot of harvest. That's what we also to plan to do. I'm not saying don't live life. You can live your life as you want to live it. But when you are living life, don't depend on the fact that one child will take care of you tomorrow. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I don't send money to my mother will never call me. She won't. And she told us these things, I'm telling you, ever since we were growing up. Primary school. She will tell you, never you depend on anyone except God. So even if you think that somebody has a responsibility or a duty towards you, the person might not just be able to do it. And you cannot hold that person responsible for your not having. You have to make hold yourself responsible. And so when I used to play ball over the place and I would not study, she would laugh. I said, in the future, I won't be there. What will you fall back on? So when you have the ability, the Bible says, as long as the earth remained, when God was promising us that he was not going to destroy the earth with water again, okay? That's what he said. He won't destroy the earth with water again. So when they say that the ice is melting, it will take over the earth, I was just laughing. Because it's not in God's plan that water will ever take over the earth again. I'm not saying water level will not rise, but it will not rise to a point where it will sweep mankind off. That's in the scripture. He said, seed time and harvest will not cease. The time you sow your seed, is dependent on the kind of seed you sow. So if you sow Chinese bamboo, I don't even like that Chinese bamboo song. It's a funny plant. If you sow that Chinese bamboo, you wait how many years? 6 to 9 years, Abi. It's 6 to 9 years now. If you wait, it's 6 to 9 years. If you sow Chinese bamboo, but one thing about it, you must continually water it. You know, somebody will now knock your door, daddy, I want to eat. You will say, oh God, you are waiting for this bamboo. It's 9 years old. Amen. But it's depending on the kind of seeds that you sow. But seed time and harvest. Seed time. So there's a time for you to sow. That harvest has no timing. It is a seed time and harvest time. It says seed time and harvest. And it's related to the seed. The ants gather in summer, and they gather as much as they will eat at that time, and they gather as much as they will eat during winter. Because they need to keep their body warm during winter. So they're not going to go out because the weather is not favorable for them. So for unfavorable times, you have to be prepared. So how was this man saying? He daily loads us with benefit. The benefits that he daily loads us with will always be available. But he has committed to us that responsibility of having that hindsight. So when I was growing up, my junior brother, of course, we used to have pocket money. I don't know if parents give their children pocket money anymore. We have money for pocket money anyway. So my junior brother, if he receives 5 naira, he's going to go. If he wants to buy donuts, if it's donut he wants to eat now, and it's 5 naira, he's going to go and look for that donut and buy 5 naira donut. So even if it's 10 pieces, he'll buy 5 naira donut because he wants to eat donut now, and then he'll finish it. Then he'll come to you. I say, please give me 2 naira. I say, ah, why? He has finished his own 5 naira. If you give him 1,000 naira and he wants to buy a pair of shoes, he will not think that there's tomorrow. And that pair of shoes he wants to buy is 1,050 naira. He would rather go and look for that 50 naira and buy that 1,050 naira shoe. And then he will come to you and say, ah, I need money. And I'm like, no, you can't live life this way. If you have 1,000 naira and you have desire for shoe, wait until you have about 2,000 naira before you go and buy shoe, so that you will not be asking people for money. Now, the principle, the financial principles we all have to learn. In as much as we are looking at the ants gathering, I mean, it's gathering. It's all about the things that we do, the things that we earn, and how well we manage them. You cannot eat everything when you are this active. You have to learn to have savings. Hallelujah. I know you have to provide for three things. For now, the savings, and for the people around you that you have to benefit, that have to benefit from you. In Proverbs 17, let me NKJV. It says in verse 5, evil mocks the poor, reproaches his maker. He is glad that calamity will not go unpunished. The definition of poor varies from people to people. Poor can be in terms of not being able to afford whatever. Poor can be in terms of spiritual drought. And those two, we cannot neglect. Whether it's spiritual drought or in terms of physical needs. So when you are working, okay, you make provision for yourself, provision for the future, and provision for those that will come to you for help. Hallelujah. Now those ants, some of them have the responsibility for guarding the territory. And some of them have the responsibility for cleaning up the colony. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some is their responsibility to guard the territory. Some is their responsibility to clean up the territory. And then the others, some, the laborers, move supplies in. Now, when the laborers are moving supplies in, they don't move supplies for themselves. They move supplies for the whole colony. Are you getting me? We cannot withhold more than is necessary. It's just a simple principle of the ants. Hallelujah. And it's also important because like I mentioned 2 weeks ago, they are well organized. Those that lead will lead. Those that will fight will fight. Those that will Those that will clean will clean. I never knew they had cleaners. So when you look at their colony, you see that they have cleaners. They clean, they make everywhere clean. So yesterday we were looking at Exodus chapter 12? No, it's not Exodus. Exodus 17, thank you. 17. We're looking at verse 8. We have to learn and learn from what is written. So in verse 8 it says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and all went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." The Bible records in verse 13, "So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." Amen. Everybody with his own responsibility in this part of this story, everybody. One was Moses that was providing leadership and vision. Okay? So, I mean, he told Joshua that, "Look, pick for us, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek." Notice that Moses did not say because he was a leader. That he would choose for Joshua, the men that will go with Joshua. He told Joshua, "This is your responsibility. Choose us some men to go to fight." Every man in his office. And every man understanding what he's called to do. Okay? And then, but the best he told Joshua is that, "Don't worry, I'll go up to you with the staff of God in my hand." That was all he told Joshua. But the instruction, it was, "Go, take men, go and fight." And Joshua did not look back. His Bible says, "So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. Then Moses, Aaron, and all, they went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he laid down his hand, Amalek prevailed." Amen. So he just stand and he raises up his hand. And then they discover that Israel was prevailing. Joshua had no inclination. Now one man on top of the hill was doing that. All they were seeing on the battlefield, sometimes they were prevailing, sometimes it looked like the enemy was prevailing. Now, he took observation for the two men that was with Moses to understand that, look, they didn't take their eyes off the battle, neither did they take their eyes off Moses. Hallelujah. Every man with his own function, so that collectively there will be victory. So they observed. I said, this man is getting tired. Anytime his hands are up, we are winning. Anytime his hands are down, we are losing. So they observed. I said, this man is getting tired. So initially, the Bible does not record that they were the ones helping him to carry his hand. So it was Moses' own call to lift his hand. And when he gets tired, he will drop it. This battle is going to take long. They found him something to sit on. Abi, they put a stone under him to sit. And then they decided that we must help this man. Hallelujah. He did tell them, "Hold my hand, bro."
And they knew that they were not there with Moses for the sake of being there. So in every ministry, there will be the leaders and those in helps ministry. Amen. Those in the helps ministry that will help the leaders. Grandpa was saying the other time that when white garments, whatever, I grew up in their midst too. So we have it. I grew up in their midst. I was in the choir. I was always leading the choir. And it became a family routine. So after me, I handed over to my brother. We lead the choir. So there were some people we call Olugbo or Olisoke. This is where they got it from. Those that lift up the hands of the prophet. Those are the people we call them. It was for them to pick out when leadership was looking weak and support. It was not for them to support and come and tell the leader that maybe we are the one that supported you. If you had not supported you, would you have been able to keep that hand? Would you have won? Everybody is dignified in the space that God has called him to function. And unfortunately, in this time, we don't see that anymore. People that are supposed to help, they want to lead. That's the way God has structured it. And that's why Solomon, we say he's the wisest man, Abi. He says he's the wisest king that lived. If Solomon could go study the ant and say you should go and learn wisdom from it, then you look at these things, they are that structured. Nobody ever complains about his own space. Everybody in that ant colony does what is expected to do in his own space. He says here, in verse 12, but Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and all supported his hands, one on one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. You and I need one another. Amen. And why is he forming? Is it because he's the one that is leading? No. That's his function. That's his office. Whatever your office is your office. Believe me, I didn't want to be preaching. No. Did I marry you to be preaching? I didn't want to. I just preferred to be in the helps ministry. So that when things are happening, you just see them happening. When Joshua and Co were winning, they just saw it happening. They never knew what was happening behind. Amen. And it goes a long way to teach us that leadership recognizes responsibility and ascribes and allows the followership to make use of that responsibility. If you had picked the men for Joshua and Joshua started losing, Joshua would say, it's him that picked the men, it's not me. That's the tendency to say it. And oftentimes that's what happens. Everybody looks for somebody to blame. You want to be like Adam. It's the one that you gave me. Hallelujah. He didn't say it's my choice. We won't blame God for everything. God gives us a choice. God did not box us into a corner. He says, I've placed before you life and death, so now choose. But it was so good to explain life and it was so good to explain death so that the choices can be very clear to all of us. Amen. He says, so Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Without the people, the helps, Aaron and Hur, without the vision of the leader, there was no victory that Joshua could have claimed. Hallelujah. So as you lead, even in the home, it's very important. You know, we have this habit when we lead the home that it has to be the way we have said it. But you see, Moses could tell Joshua, do this. Because over time, Moses has seen Joshua and he had groomed Joshua to a point where Joshua was that responsible. First Chronicles, I think we looked at this 2 weeks ago. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. He says, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Some people will have understanding of times, but your understanding of times has to be backed up with knowledge. So you just know that, this is the time we are in. So what will we do? Just like we are, what we are facing now, everybody, in fact, this is the most blessed country I've ever seen. Everybody knows the problem. I don't engage in discussing about this country in the office. I don't like it. Because we all sit down, I believe that we sit and we all speak from a point of no knowledge. Because we don't know what's happening. It's just what we are seeing. So if Joshua came back and said, wow, I'm a very strong man, I defeated these guys that have been worrying us all these times, he would have been of all men the most foolish. Because he did not know that behind, even though Moses told him, Moses said, I'm going to the hilltop with the staff of God. That's all he told him. All he wanted him to know that, don't worry, I'm here, I'm there. But whatever Moses was doing at the time of the war, Joshua did not know. So he would have been in great error for him to have said, wow, I went to war and I came back and I won. Amen. And he would have been out of place for Moses even to say, if not for me that was raising my hand, Joshua would not have won. Amen. And he would have been out of place for Aaron and all to say, if he had not supported Moses' hand, he would not have won the war. Because if there was no Moses, which hand would they support? So the three legs couldn't have worked together. The only option they all had was to work together and come back and ascribe that glory to God. Because at the instance of their going out, it was when God moved and spoke to Moses, and then Moses went to Joshua, take false men, go and fight. Instruction from the leadership, vision. In your space, somebody must have that vision. And there are people that you need to carry out the vision. No one is higher than the other. No one is better than the other. I think the last time I told you of the story of NASA, that they asked the cleaner at NASA, that what do you do? And the cleaner said, I help man to explore space. Because in NASA, you send men to space. So the cleaner didn't say, I clean the toilet too. No. He said, I help man, mankind, to go and explore space. And he's right. Because if the office is not clean, there's nothing, no research going on. The people who come to the office and say they are not coming to the office, they're not going to do anything. We have to be very deliberate about our life of being unified. I think Psalm 133. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded blessing, life forevermore. He says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's verse 1. Then go to the last, the third verse, towards the end. For there the Lord commanded blessing, life forevermore. We can't live life disunited. And you can't live life full of envy. You can't. You can't envy somebody else. If you think you are
If you think what you are doing is insignificant, take a look at the ants again. With their size, as insignificant as it is, if they build a colony here, we will all run. If they decide that this land is, let me put fertile for them, and they decide to build colonies, they will bring those colonies, you will run. As I was chasing, say, ant. But it's not one ant that is chasing you. It's that unified force that they bring. Have you been beaten by soldier ants before? Or you manage to make mistake and step barefoot where they are. Even if you just go close, they don't assume that you are close by mistake. They strike. But if you look around, when a brother is down, we kick. We kick when a brother is down or a sister. Then she is the one that went to go and look for trouble. Blah, 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 blah. No. Even see, the ant that strays onto your table and licks sugar and goes to call other ones. You know that one is the one that came to look for trouble because he came to your sitting room on your table because you left sugar there. The others will not say, what are you looking for in another man's place? They will come en masse. If one of them dies there, they will carry it and go. They never leave any fallen ant in the battlefront. Go and check. If any one of them finds a prey, I saw one video, they found war gecko. One of them found one gecko. And then they went to the other one. I don't know how they call themselves. Then all of them came. And they stood and they carried the war gecko and moved the war gecko. They moved the war gecko all the wall and went straight into their colony. And as they were going, more were joining and they were adding. And then it became lighter. Even when they wanted to cross, if you know you want to climb step, very beautiful thing when you watch it. Whenever they climb the step, the ones that will go and support at this. When I was watching the video, I opened my mouth. I'm like, wow. I'd seen them carry, when I was growing up, I'd seen them carry one dead ant and go this way. And then you wicked people now say, pa, 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 pa. Killing them. But they're supporting one another. That unity, that unifying force that they have. They don't say, what did he go and look for in trouble? They will go say, Muiwa is in trouble. Let's go and carry him. And when Muiwa finds food, he doesn't sit down there and be eating alone. I mean, chopping, chopping, chopping. And then he comes out in one pack. One pack. One of them will not find food, sit down and finish it, and then go back to the colony. If he finds food, okay, everybody, come, there's food. And they all come there. If we live life this way, everybody will be building house. That's the truth of the matter. Some people have houses worth 1 billion. And then sometimes when I enter those houses, I just laugh. That this is the height of vanity. Because truly, if you have, let me say, to be conservative, if you have 100 million, you should be able to build a comfortable house. Before, if I could say 50 million, but because of the way things, so if you have 1 billion, you know that can build 10 or 100 million. And many more. But because of selfishness, and that everybody just see that I'm up there. Nobody is up there except God. And if God puts you in the position of a leader or in a position where you oversee people, it is not for you to live off them. It is for you to live for them. Amen. Leaders take responsibility. In this my short life, I have so many disciples. Not people in church. I have so many disciples. when I was first trained in this work I do, I trained 32 other people. I trained them, I brought them up to speed. The same things I could do. Do you know the interesting thing of life? That out of those 32 that I trained, two of them are training my children today. So when I sent my children to school, I just got there, my son came back home and said, this man said that he, are you this man's son? He said yes. He said, tell your father I want to see him. I said, who is he? I don't know him. He said that he wants to see you. I said, okay, no problem. Of course, me, I know that I don't fight. I don't know how to fight. And I don't know how to quarrel. So when eventually he went to bring the man, I saw the guy. I said, it's you. He said, yes. What are you doing in the school environment? Because we were both in technical business together. He said, after the company collapsed, he just moved. And then because of the IT experience, he supported them in IT. I couldn't believe it. And I laughed. You know what happened? Because of God, a few of us were singled out and they took us abroad to go and learn on all the machines that we were going to operate. And after, I think the first set, we were about 30 that they took out. No, 19 that they took out. And after the 19 came back, they now isolated 10 of us again and sent us to another country and trained us. And so when we came back, they employed several more people. I said, look, you 10, you must bring all these people to speed. And then out of those 10, my guy said, Muiwa, lead the pack. So it was my responsibility. So every time I would teach, even when they don't know it, I would teach. We'll be in the office 6 a.m., we'll close 11 p.m., we'll be teaching, until everybody was on the same thing. Now, if I thought that, they say I should lead now, and I'm not teaching them, you know that they will be suffering today. It will suffer. And as if that was not enough, we were going for one valedictory service. As I stepped in the same school, as I stepped into the hall, one came to me. Wow! You. I said, I know you, but I can't remember your name. He said, Ogami. I was laughing. He said, your son is in this school. He said, yes. Where is he? He said, this. When your hands are full and you think it's for you to eat alone, be careful. When we come to church, we come to learn lifestyle. Very interesting. Because of their name, my children's name, their son name, another man saw them. He said, are you sure this is? He said, this son name, I know it. Yeah. My son just not bothered. I said, okay. So he now told me, daddy, this man said that he knows your son name, blah, blah, blah. And I went to the man. And as he was talking, he was asking me, are you from here? I said, yes. Are you from there? Said, yeah. And then I said, this is my father. This is my father's name. The man froze. He said, this is your father's name. He said, your father is my wife's uncle. You're laughing. He said, your father is my wife's uncle. I said, eh. I said, how? And then he told me his wife's name. I said, no, I don't know this name. And I said, do you know this person? He said, yes. He said, your father was one that handed over my wife to me. That same man is teaching him today. I was just laughing. The things that you do, when you lay them up, you never know when they are coming back to you. So if each one of us that was in a position to be of help threw that help away and chose to misbehave, generations that is coming that we can see now, they will just suffer it. Except those guys are just solely sold out to God and decide that no, this one's won't suffer. In your space, don't look at another person's space. It's just like your body. In the course of a week, I had water collect under my foot. Water was just there, fluid. And I couldn't stand upright. It looked like I was standing on a stone. Well, this tiny, and that disrupted the whole of my body system. I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. There is no insignificant part of a body. Your body, there is nothing insignificant. If you have
When I was in school, I had a boil on the shoulder. I couldn't write. I was right-handed. I couldn't move the right hand. So I was forced to use the left hand. So imagine that everything I could do with my right hand, I couldn't do. So imagine if my left hand had told me that, JB, you have not been using me all these days. You are going to suffer now. I had to learn to write with my left hand. Until that boy went off. Every part of a system is important. We are all members of Christ's body. Hallelujah. Anyhow you want to see that body, we are all members of that body. The head will always be the head. But instructions flow from the head to every other part of the body, and every other part of the body returns every instruction back to the head. And then the head makes use of all our instructions, and it looks like, oh, the head is in control. But if it doesn't receive signal back from your hand, the head can't do anything. Amen. No man is an island, and no man is insignificant. Take it from me. The life of the ants is enough to learn from. None of them is insignificant. In fact, to me, I think the laborers are the most important in their colony. Because they're the ones that do everything, everything. The other ones just make sure that everything is in place. But be that deliberate about being unified in God. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Remember the new commandment that God gave. He said, this is the new commandment I give to you. Love your neighbor as I have loved you. The problem is that, do you know how much Christ has loved you? Because that's the standard he's measuring with. That's where we started from. The standard that he's measuring with. He says, love as I have loved you. So, I mean, if you love as he has loved you, you have to be able to understand how much he has loved you. And you cannot get how much he has loved you except you are dealing on a daily basis in the world. Let's not live our life riotously. Let's be purposeful and targeted. If he says, I know the thoughts I have towards you, okay, to bring you to an expected end, then the expected end you should also know. Amen. So if I want to tell my children that they should calm down, you can't tell them to just calm down. You must tell them what they are coming down for. So they say, calm down, calm down. Okay, let me give you an example. My son says, Daddy, I want to go out. Will you permit me to go out? I said, I'm thinking about it. Then he busts me again. Daddy, you have not said anything. I said, okay. I just said, okay. And then he comes back. I said, am I going? Okay, it's not an answer. I said, calm down. I'm still thinking. Then he comes back. Have you finished thinking? Have you finished thinking? I said, no, I've not finished thinking. So am I going? Because he wants to know the end. Right? He wants to know, is it a deal or no deal? Also, until I said, okay, you are going. That's when he said, okay, thank you. So you could work with the fact that there is an end to this request. You have to know that end. If you don't find the purpose for your life, you'll be just, it's as though you are living without a purpose. So when somebody has a career, it's like when you have a career path, when you go to school, when you get to secondary school, senior secondary, they begin to tell you what do you want to become at the end of all this academic wahala, international school institution. If you do not have a plan, somebody guides you to say, look, this is your strength, this is not your strength. We think you should go this way. If there's no direction, or there's no purpose, there's nothing to look forward to. It says in unity, there God has commanded blessing. Joshua, Moses, Aaron, and all could collectively say they won that battle on God's behalf because they were united. That's the blessing that they got, victory in war. We also have to be united. Take this unity from the home front. Hallelujah. From home. We practice it from home. And then we can see it outside. You know, some people, they are very good outside and not good at home. Hallelujah. That home that you're not taking care of will be actually ill if you're not careful. You'll pull down every other thing you have built outside. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let it not be a cliche. That love that he gave, that son that he gave, let it not be a cliche for us. Let it be something that we look out and we understand fully. His love for us has no end. Our love for the next person should not have an end. Amen. It shouldn't. If he loves us endlessly, we should love endlessly. Hallelujah. But like I said, Moses could give Joshua responsibility because Moses had that trust in him. So if around you, you are not building people, you are not building people, there's nobody to trust with responsibility. Hallelujah. You know when COVID came? Interesting. Before COVID, Setman had always been telling us, then I was in the technical team, he had always been telling us that find a way, I want to do online service. And then we will go, all of us will go, months before, we are working on it. We never came back with any recommendation for him. The recommendation we came back, it was one that he couldn't afford. He said, this thing, is this man that brought that recommendation? He said, the cable we are supposed to buy, 350,000. Remember that cable that he said? Setman said, life does not have to be this expensive. So we sat down and we left it. And then COVID came all of a sudden. And then it was important and mandatory that service had to be online. So we had to sit down. I started, I was leading technical team. Oh, Yemi will come and say, see, let's do it this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. When I saw that, his technical ability, I could not keep up with it. I said, Yemi, please go. Come back with solution. I will manage Setman until we have a solution. Because he was telling me things that I was not. He said, when we do it this way, I will do it this way. Blah, blah, blah. I said, don't worry. I understand. This much I understand. But go and come. And then we started. When we started the first online service, if you have seen this place, it looked like a photographer's studio. We had like six lamps all over. And then gradually. But you know, if I told Yemi that, you know, this thing you're telling me, you're not going to do it. It's nothing. Forget it. He won't have that confidence. I said, you know what? Go. Anything you come up with, I will fine-tune it. And today, Yemi has Japa. You're laughing. But the things that he left with us, even the ones that are here now, they are built on that one, and I cannot understand it. So I just started this year, I'm Pastor NY, so I left them. Amen. One man does not make a team. And when one man is at the M's, it does not mean that every other person should fold his hand. He says, in unity, God has commanded blessing. Let's rise on our feet. Let's just talk to God. And one thing I want us to specifically pray about is that office that God has put you in. So it's personal. It's between you and God. That he reveals it to you. And if he has revealed it to you, he gives you that grace to function in that capacity. Not looking at what another man is doing. Because another man's calling is not your calling. I think we read it in 1 Corinthians 7 this morning. Everybody has his own capacity. And everybody's capacity is needed to form the bigger picture. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you. Just speak to you this morning. Just talk to God. Lekla deska prodeska pakanda lede pradoska tasetenia
In the assembly of God's people, there is a function for each one. In the assembly of God's people, there is an office for each one. Just thank Him that indeed you understand how much you should be doing and how much you should be of help and support. And where you have to lead, you take responsibility as well. Everybody, a follower, a leader having his responsibility. Lord, we thank you, we magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray.